Page 454. Last time we learned about the curtains of the Mishkan, the various different levels, three levels or four levels. Now the Pasuk is going to be discussing the actual boards of the Mishkan. So the Pasuk starts, Perek Chavav Pasuk Tezvav, page 454, four lines in the bottom. The Pasuk says, Vasisa Sakroshim La Mishkan, you should make the boards of the Mishkan. Atzi shitim aimdim, these acacia wood, this is the definition as shitim, but really they were cedar trees. As Rashi mentioned, we'll see in a second, that they were actually cedar trees. But the Mishnah calls them atzi shitim, we'll explain why in a second. But over here you see an interesting thing, and Rashi mentions this right away, like by the other utensils of the Beis HaMikdash, it says vasisa menorah, vasisa es hashulchan. Vasisa Shulchan. It doesn't say HaShulchan, HaMenorah. It doesn't say the menorah, the Shulchan. Here, it says Vasisa es HaKroshim. It doesn't say make Kroshim, make boards for the Mishkan. It says make the boards, as if we know what boards they're talking about. So Rashi explains in the Medrash that when Yaakov Avinu went down to Egypt many, many years earlier, he realized and he knew that the Jews are going to have to build a Mishkan for Hashem in the desert. And he knew that in the desert they're not going to be able to get wood. So what he did was, he carried wood with him down to Egypt, this arazim, this cedar tree type of stuff, and he planted it in Mitzrayim. The Jews were there 210 years. And he told the Jews when they leave, they should make sure they carry out the boards, I mean the trees, because they're going to need them for the Mishkan. And therefore, the pasuk doesn't say vasisa kroshim, make kroshim. It says hakroshim, the kroshim, because they were like the famous boards. That's the way Rashi learns it, and most of the commentaries learn that that's the way it is. Now, what does it mean aimdim? The Torah says make the boards of the Mishkan atzi shitim omdim, standing. So there's a different, basically all the same concept, but aimdim is like this. You can, if you have a board, you can build it this way, like a log cabin. Yeah? They didn't put the logs upright. They put the logs horizontal, not vertical. Here the Torah says, Vasisa zakroshim la mishkan ati shitim endim, the boards have to go upwards. So the Mishkan's boards went vertical rather than horizontal. And some mefarshim learn, endim, that it has to be the way it's grown. In other words, I'll give you an example which is very clear. By a lulav, okay, you hold the lulav upward, right? If you turn the lulav upside down, that's not being held the way it grows, you didn't do the mitzvah. Now, even boards, you can have them standing upright, right side up or upside down. So it has to be, and Rashi explains, the Medrash explains, it has to be the way they grew. That means you have to get the fibers or whatever it is in the right direction that they were standing the way it was. Now we're going to learn a little bit, a few psukim, and we're going to discuss this whole thing. So it says, "Eser ame seirach hakodesh." The length of the height of the Mishkan of the board was 10 ames. Va'ame v'chatzi va'ama, and 1.5 amas. Reicha v'keresh echad is the width of the keresh. So each board was 10 amas high, and again, an amas between 1.5 to 2 feet. So let's say, to make it, we'll use 2 feet, this is easier to work with. It was 20 feet high, and each board was an amma and a half wide, meaning 3 feet wide. Because an amma is 2 feet, so an amma and a half is 3 feet. So each board stood 20 feet high, and was 3 feet wide. All the boards, as we'll soon see, the X amount of boards that they had in the Mishkan were all exactly the same. Now, the Mefarshim explain, and a lot of Chassidus is written just on this Pasuk itself, and some of it we discussed when we started the Mishkan. The concept of the Mishkan was God's home, the home of God. to reveal godliness in the world. For that matter, the purpose of the Mishkan was to bind the Jew with Hashem. When you have a Mishkan, you bring sacrifices, it's God's home, you know, the Jew becomes bound to God. So, the word Keresh, which means board, if you switch around the letters, it could be Kuf, Shin, Resh, which means Kesher. Kesher means binding, not connection. So the Mefarshim explain, why were the boards of the Mishkan called Keresh? There's a lot of different words for boards. Briach is a board. There's so many different words in Chumash for boards. Why is the Torah using the word Keresh for a board? Because Keresh is the same letters as the word Kesher, which means binding the Jew to God. And therefore, the Mefarshim explain, what is this concept of Eimdim, vertically standing? Because what does a pillar do? Our Eimdim, standing, is the same letters as the word Amud, which is a column. What does a column do? We have a pillar in a room. What does a pillar do? The pillar connects the ceiling and the floor. That's what a pillar does. So the boards of the Mishkan are called pillars because they bind and connect God with the Jewish people. And therefore the boards are called kroshim, which comes from the word kesher, which means tying or not, that it binds and ties the Jews with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, another concept of this, like we learned, again, we discussed this all the way at the beginning, but as we said, Rashi says in the Medrash, there were really arazim trees. Yaakov planted arazim, cedar trees, and the Jews went out of Egypt carrying them, and this is the boards that they used to build the Mishkan. So why is the Torah calling him Atzei Shittim? So it's interesting, the Ramban, in many places in Chumash, says, why were the things called Shittim? Because there's a place in the desert called Shittim. After the Balak story, said, Vayeshiv Yisrael B'Shittim. And therefore the Ramban says, Atzei Shittim, because they bought him in the city of Shittim. That's where they got the boards. Rashi calls in the Medrash that they got it from Yaakov Avinu going down to Egypt and, planting it and taking it out of Egypt. And some of Hashem, they were called Atzei Shittim because they actually came from the city of Shittim. But Chassidus explains that the reason why the boards are called Atzei Shittim, because Shittim, like you can remember when we start discussing it, this is the concept of shtus, foolishness. And shtus means turning off the middle path. You have a middle path, you turn below normal or above normal, it's called shtus. Like we said, the Navi in Tanakh is called Meshuga. Why? Because he's not a normal person, but not below normal, he's above normal. So what is the concept of the Mishkan? The concept of the Mishkan is to take the shtus, the foolishness of the world, and make it into shittim, meaning shtus of Kedusha, to make it into the Beis HaMikdash. And the same thing we discussed, why are they called kroshim? Kadesh is also, the word, the letters kufreshin can be made three words out of them. You can have kadesh, which means board. You can have kesher, which means not. And then you can have sheker, falseness. So again, what is the concept of the boards of the Mishkan? To take sheker, to take falseness, and transform it into a kadesh, into a board of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, this is one of the reasons it's brought down, why were the Kedoshim 10 Amis high? I mean, you know, there could have been 11, 12, 13, what's this number 10? So besides the fact that 10 is a complete number in Torah, but 10 is the 10 attributes. The 10 attributes of God. And the 10 attributes in a person. There's 3 intellectual attributes, Chachma, Bina, and Das. And then you have the 7 Middays, which altogether is 10. So when a person is building in the personal Mishkan, that a person is building for Hashem, what the person is actually doing is, they're building a Mishkan out of all 10 powers of their soul. Intellect and emotions, this is all part of the Mishkan that a Jew has to build. And this is, Mefarshim Mosek say, if you notice the word Vasisa is singular. All the vessels, it says, Tasa, Vasisa, Okay, so simply the reason why it says singular, even though many people worked on it, why does it say singular? Because simply the reason is because God's speaking to Moshe. Moshe was in charge, he put Bezalel in charge, so you had the main guy, the second guy. But commentators explain, when the Torah says Vasisa singular, the Torah is speaking to every single Jew. You have to make a menorah in your body, you know, in your neshama and guf. You have to make a shulchan. You have to make the boards. You have to make this board of 10 amos, meaning every one of your spiritual attributes, intellect and emotional attributes, have to be made as boards of the Mishkan, which are aimdim, standing upright, in a way that it's amud, it's a pillar that connects heaven and earth. And this is the purpose of a Mishkan within the Jew self, to make this building, so to speak, that connects them and Hashem. So in fact, they bring down another interesting thing. Why is it an amma and a half wide? One second. One of the Mefarshim explains an interesting concept also in the half. One second. Yeah, he said, Rav Chaim HaKadosh explains the asara that it has in each one of the spheres, like we said, each one of the attributes. And then he says, that's the yichud of matzah, shleima matzah perusa, a complete matzah, and a half a matzah, which is the hay and the dalid, or whatever, according to Kabbalah. So he says, in Kabbalah you have an amma and a half, represents a whole and a half. Like on Pesach, you have a whole matzah and a broken matzah. That represents the various different letters of God's name in the Kabbalistic way. So that even the measurements of the boards had to do with the Jew within themselves creating this, so to speak, this Mishkan of Hashem. So he says like this, each keresh, by the way, there's an interesting daskim about Tesis. Well, he says, what does the Torah say? Atzi shitim aimdim. What do you mean, standing up? He says you shouldn't take rotted wood. That's warped wood that doesn't stand. He said, this is what Tesis explains in the Chumash. The simple meaning of the Pasuk is, you have to take proper standing wood that's not warped. And he says another thing, aimdim, another definition of aimdim, Tesis explains, that aimdim means permanent. Permanent. Aimid la'ad la'elam, standing forever. We know that the Mishkan was never destroyed. The Mishkan Moshe Rabbeinu made was never destroyed. In fact, it says that after they took apart the Mishkan and they built a new one, they didn't burn it, they buried it. It was buried and was hidden, but it's still standing. So therefore the Pasuk says, Ati Shitim Aimdim. Not only does it mean not to work, but it means permanent. Hashem has done measure, but these boards are going to last permanently forever.
But they didn't.
It never got destroyed. They buried it. The Mishkan Moshe Rabbeinu made was never destroyed. Wow. It's just when they came into Eretz Yisrael after the first 14 years, the 7 years conquering the land, and then dividing the land. So over there they used this Mishkan, and then they needed a bigger one, so they built a new one. But it wasn't that this one got destroyed. Okay, then the Pasuk says in Yud Zayin, Shtei Yodeis, it's buried somewhere. They don't know where. Shtei Yodeis, it should be, yeah, Pasuk 17. Shtei yodis lakedesh shoachod mishulaves, each, well, in the English she calls it tenons, we'll explain in a second what it is, parallel to one another, keintasa l'chol kashe mishkan, this you should do to every board of the Mishkan. Now, you have a board, okay, a solid board. It was very, very heavy, the Gemara says. Took a bunch of levium to carry that board. Can you imagine a 20-foot board, 3 feet wide, heavy, cedar tree. I mean, solid. It wasn't hollow. It was solid wood. It was mamish, very, very heavy. Now, at the bottom of the board, I'll show you the picture in a second. They had the bottom of the board they carved into two hands. Because what did the board stand on? If the board was flat at the bottom and it just stood on the ground, then if the ground would move or go in, then the mishkan would shake. So what they did is, they made, as we'll soon learn, silver sockets at the bottom, two sockets per board, and at the bottom of the board, they carved it out in a way that the bottom, there were like two handles, or hands, if you call them.
Picture.
I know, I have a picture. Where?
457.
Oh, okay. And 457, you see the picture. So at the end, at the bottom, you see, it was called tenons, but it's the English word for yodis. Yodis actually means they look like hands, because they were round, and those went into the sockets, into the adonim. And the Torah says they should be parallel to one another. That means they were made exactly the same distance apart on each one of the boards. And then that went into the sockets. But the Torah is going to tell us that the boards had to be flush one to another in a way that there was absolutely no space between any of the boards. There was no, and sometimes, you know, put boards together, there's empty space, like a fence. You make a fence, there's an empty space. Here in the Mishkan, there wasn't allowed to be any empty space. The boards had to be mamish, flush against each other, that you couldn't even see any space between them. But they made, and in fact, the bottom...
Why?
One second. The bottom, those hands, the Torah is going to say was an amma. Okay, that means the board itself was 9 amas. I mean, the handles were also part of the board. They just carved it out. But the bottom that went into the sockets was 2 feet. Then you had 9 amas of exposed board, which was 18 feet. Altogether was 20 feet. Okay, but...
When you say the Levim were carrying it, only the Levim were allowed to carry it?
Yep.
Why nobody else could touch it? Is
that a question of touching? The Levim were the workers in the base of Migdash. A Yisrael was not allowed to do a Levi's job. A Levi was not allowed to do a Kohen's job. Every person had to do their own job. Now, in the Mishkan...
That's what happened to the David when one of the guys touched his side.
The Gemara in Shabbos discusses where they used wagons. There were 6 wagons that the Nesiim donated. When they, in Parshas Nosei, it speaks about the Nesiim, when the Mishkan was dedicated, so the heads of the tribes brought gifts to the Mishkan. So it says, one of the gifts they brought was 6 covered wagons. Okay, that means there are 12 tribes. So instead of one leader bringing one wagon, 2 leaders joined together to bring one wagon. Okay? Now, from the 6 wagons, Moshe Rabbeinu gave 2 wagons for the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash to carry. Only the ark, they did not put on a wagon, they carried it with the board on their shoulders. But all the other, the menorah, the shulchan, the mizbeach, all those had to be carried. So Moshe Rabbeinu gave 2 wagons for those things to be carried. And 4 wagons he gave to the children of Merari, because even in the Levium, it wasn't simple. One Levi couldn't do another Levi's job either. The Levium originated with 3 families, Gershon, Kahas, and Merari. Okay? Kahas carried the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. Merari actually carried the boards. Now, when they needed to take apart the Mishkan and to move it from place to place, so how did they move the boards from place to place? They would put it on a wagon. And they had to figure out, it was Mamasha, a mathematical ingenious, how to fit the boards on, because he had 48 boards. 48 massive boards, okay? And that means 4 wagons, 12 boards per wagon. And the Levim had to figure out, in a way, how to stack 12 boards on a wagon. Number one, that it should fit and shouldn't fall off and all that type of stuff. And the way they did it, they would line up the wagons, the 4 wagons, and then they would, a bunch of Levim together, would pick up the board and put it on one wagon, then push it to the next, and to the next, and to the next, And then when that first wagon got filled, they did it to the third wagon, then to the second wagon, then to the first wagon.
You don't scratch the board?
I was just going to ask that.
Well, we'll soon see that the boards were plated with gold. No, they maybe they had the shmatis. Well, when, over here the Torah doesn't discuss how they carry the boards. This later on the Chumash. But they did it in a way that the taka didn't scratch it. Because gold scratches very, especially gold plate, scratches very easily, as we all know. Uh-huh. But they did it in a way, they actually lifted it.
Maybe they covered it, because it wasn't gold.
It was
covered them with
gold. No, they were made out of wood, covered with gold.
Yeah, but the gold was covered. It's gold plate.
Yeah, the gold must be covered
very
with fabric.
Well, it doesn't say how thick the gold was. It just says, see, piece of, no, it says to cover them with gold. It doesn't say in the Torah how thick. But no matter what it was, it's going to scratch. So maybe I don't remember the Gemara if the Gemara discusses in Shabbos what they actually use for it. Okay, let's see it inside now. No, this they're able to cut with anything to cut. They're able to use a saw, whatever utensil they had. They needed. They had. I mean, they went to Home Depot.
Jimmy's drugs are put on the I told him if he was there, he could have dropped off his business card, Rabbi.
Trust me, in the Mishkan they took, they didn't give. They were Jewish. Okay. So it says in Pasuk Yudzayin, it says like this. Shtei Yadeis, like we learned, you should make these two tenons parallel to one another, and this is the way it's done in all the planks. Now, Vasis is a krashim la mishkan. Now the Torah is going to say, how many krashim did they need? The boards. Now, esrim keresh, the fast negba teimana, 20 planks were to the south. Now, the mishkan, as if you remember we learned, was only closed on three sides. The fourth side was closed with a curtain, with five beams, and then they hung a curtain over it, like we learned last time. The Mishkan was only boarded on three sides. Now, if you remember, the opening was on the east. Okay, that means the other side was west. North and south were the long sides of the Mishkan. So the Pasuk is saying that on the south side were 20 Kroshim, and then it says, V'aboyim adnei kesef, and 40 sackets of silver. Because remember we learned, there's two sackets per board. There are 20 boards, so there are 40 sackets of silver. Tas et tachas esen makosh, you should make under the 20 boards. Shnei adonim tachas akedesh echad ushtei yedesav. Two sackets. What are you sniffing? Two sackets under one kedesh for the two tenons, ushnei adonim tachas kedesh yachad ushtei yedesav, and two sackets under each one. So it's an expression basically. The Torah says each board had two sockets. There are 40 boards, so therefore there are 20 boards, so therefore there were 40 sockets. Now, basically based on this, there are 20 kedushim. Each kedush was, like we learned, an arm and a half, which is 3 feet. If it's 3 feet, that means the whole length of the Mishkan was 60 feet. There are 20 boards. Each board was an arm and a half, which is 3 feet. So 20 times 3 is 60 feet, which is not very big. If you think about it, the Mishkan's length was only 60 feet. So the south wall had 20 kedushim, and then it says the tzela mishkan hashen is the fast sofin, and the second side of the mishkan, which was the north side of the mishkan, also had 20 boards.
You didn't have to move it.
Well, they moved it when they traveled.
So what did Hashem say? The Beit HaMikdash has to be so big.
What?
Why Beit HaMikdash has to be so big if the mishkan was not that big?
The mishkan was temporary. There were not as many Jews. The Jewish people grew throughout the ages. They had more Jews.
That's 600,000 people in the
Midrash. So? Later on, there are much more.
Wait till the new one comes in.
Wait, what?
Till the new one comes in.
Yeah.
The whole purpose was the Jews to come into Eretz Israel and have the Beit HaMikdash, right?
Right.
So,
why wasn't that the ultimate fulfillment? It's a separate fulfillment in Mashiach and Beit HaMikdash?
The ultimate fulfillment was in the Beit HaMikdash. Even when the Mishkan existed, if the Jew wanted to build an altar in his backyard and bring a carbon, they were allowed to. Once the Beit HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, all other places became forbidden to bring any sacrifices but in the Beit HaMikdash.
But what I'm saying is, why wasn't that just the final redemption?
Where?
In the first Beit HaMikdash.
Because God wanted descent, make higher, until the third.
But at that point, when they were there, things were
going It was a great revelation of godliness, but it wasn't a revelation of godliness that transformed the world. In Chassidus it explains, in Chassidus it explains that the revelation of the first Beis HaMikdash in the days of Shlomo HaMelech was such a great revelation that it lit up the whole world, so to speak. Okay?
Right.
That even the Queen of Sheba came, Malkah Shva, as it called, everybody came to Shlomo HaMelech. But she didn't become transformed. There's a difference between darkness not existing because light is there, or that darkness itself is transformed to light. In the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, the revelation of godliness was so great that Shlomo HaMelech's greatness, meaning godliness, permeated the entire world. But the world didn't change, because the second you take away the light, the room would be dark again. And the ultimate goal, which is in the third Beis HaMikdash, is that even the darkness becomes light, evil becomes good, and Klipa becomes Kedusha. So even the first Beis HaMikdash, as great as the revelation was, it didn't transform or change the world. All it did was such a great level of light, darkness was pushed away.
The great sages like Shumam, they didn't think that this was a redemption?
No. They knew there was going to be a second and a third. They knew that.
Why my life is pointless right now?
Why?
Because they're just going to be destroyed.
No, that's their purpose now.
Yeah, it's a bit like,
let me ask you a question. If a kid under bar mitzvah, who's only doing mitzvahs to learn how to do it as an adult, they should say, my life is worthless because I really can't do mitzvahs anyway. No, there's a purpose of being a kid. That's why God didn't make us born adults. Right? God didn't make us, could have made us born adults. Hashem said, no, there are stages in life. You have to be an infant, and you have to be a baby, and then you have to be a kid, and then you have to be a teenager, and then you have to be an young adult. And this
they
is.
Knew they couldn't bring the redemption at that time.
They knew it couldn't happen.
It has to go from down to up.
Why?
Because.
It was redemption on that level. That level the way it was now. The Mishkan, was not as great as the Beis HaMikdash was either. We learned that the Mishkan was made out of animals and plant, because Kedusha and the Mishkan cannot permeate even the inanimate. The Beis HaMikdash was built out of stone because the Kedusha was even able to make domain the inanimate holy.
But their prayers were in vain then.
Their prayers were not in vain. They davened. When a Jew davens in Golis, it's a waste of time.
No, but what I'm saying is that if these people knew that it was going to be destroyed, it's pretty much in vain.
A guy that died before Mashiach came, his life was a waste of time?
No.
Why not? Why not?
You bring baby, you know they're going to die one bit, so.
There's a stages of different progressive stages towards Mashiach. Okay, let's go right there. Well, the Tzela Mishkan Hashem is the Fas Sofin, and again Pasik Chav. And to the north side of the Mishkan was again Esim Karsh 20 boards. Aboyim Adni Chesev, again, and there were had 40 sockets. Shnei Adonim Tachas Hakedesh Echad, Shnei Adonim Tachas Hakedesh Echad. Again, two sockets per board. So there were 20 boards and 40 sockets. Therefore, the length of the Mishkan was 20 amis. Like we said, if you count, each board was an am and a half. And we said, if you make it simpler, it's 3 feet. So the length of the Mishkan was anywhere between 45 and 60 feet.
The length of this room.
And the width. Oh, Mishkan Yama. And to the western side of the Mishkan, in other words, what are we talking about? The width of the Mishkan. Tasa Shisha Kroshim. They made 6 boards. That means 6 times 3 is 18 feet.
But the whole thing was 48.
48 boards.
48 boards.
So no. There was 20. 6, and then we're going to learn there were two more boards on the side. It doesn't say exactly how many levium, but it took a few levium to pick up each board. Especially if they wanted to be careful not to scratch it, then they actually had to pick it up and...
They put it in the wagon. They didn't want to carry it on the desert, huh?
No, the wagons carried it. But they had to run next, when the wagons were going, the levium were running near the wagons to make sure the boards don't fall.
And they also probably were wrapped.
Doesn't say they were wrapped.
No.
So whatever.
So how many wagons?
Four wagons from 48 boards. There's 12 boards per wagon.
What about the rest of us?
They had the other two wagons for that.
So the
Rebbe, in fact, we mentioned Rebbe asks a question. You know, especially based on the rule that there's no poverty in the place of wealth. Instead of each Nasi being cheap and making 2 liters donating a wagon, why didn't each leader donate one wagon, and that would be 12 wagons, and they'd have much easier life to be able to use the wagons, and it'd be easier for the Levium. So the Rebbe asked this question in Parshas Nosei when it speaks about the gifts of the Mishkan. And the Rebbe says, the lesson, what the Nasiim wanted to teach a Jew, what the Torah is teaching a Jew, if four is enough to do it, then 8 would be wasting things that God created. In other words, if you could do it with less, using more to do it is wasting those wagons that could have been used for something else. It's a remarkable lesson. If you could do it in 10 minutes, don't do it in 12 minutes. If you could do it with 2 wagons, don't do it with 5 wagons. Even though 5 wagons may be easier. But then, if it's possible to do it with the smaller, less wagons, then those other wagons could be used for other things to serve God rather than just wasting it. And that's why they only donated 4 wagons to carry the 48 boards, because granted it might be more difficult, but if it's enough, don't waste anything God made.
Once, he said everything that was in the Beit HaMikdash had a purpose. So if it didn't serve its purpose, it was Levatala.
If it didn't serve the purpose to the fullest. It was an interesting din, by the way, in the Beit HaMikdash also, that in order for a cup, or any utensil, not a cup, a clay, it only sanctified it, what was in it, when it was full. In other words, if you have a half a cup, then the half a cup is wasted. In other words, everything had to be whole, because otherwise you're wasting half a cup that could have been used for something else. That's the whole concept of, like it says by the Mishkan, at the end of Parshas Pekuda, it says, Uchved Hashem Maleis HaMishkan. The glory of God filled the Mishkan. Or in Siman Rambam, it says, Umala ha'aretz there, says, and Rambam finishes with a pasuk, that the earth will be full. Full means full. If it's not to the top, it's not full. So anything has to be used to the fullest, even when godliness is revealed to the fullest. A person wants to use a vessel, the Beis HaMikdash has to be used to the fullest. You can't use things halfway, because then you're wasting the other half that could be used for something good. Yeah, this one, well, it's not a, because you need it full. Because full is a sign of using something to its entirety. Okay, so now he says like this. So therefore the Mishkan was 60 feet long, and 6 krashim means 18 feet wide. Then he says another thing, Shnei krashim tasa, in Pasuk Chav Gimel 23, he says, you should make another 2 boards for the Mishkan, for the corners of the Mishkan in the back. Okay? Now, if you see in 23 at the bottom, he explains like this. The 6 points mentioned in verse 22 account for the width of 9 cubits along the west wall. One more plank was added to the north and south corners. Since the north wall was 1 cubit thick, it covered 1 cubit of the corner plank, leaving a half a cubit exposed. The same was true on the other side. Thus, the entire west wall consisted of 8 planks measuring 12 cubits. Only 10 cubits were open. That means, because the width of the Mishkan, the width of the boards, no, I mean, you're right, I used the wrong word, the depth of the boards were an amma. Okay? That means the boards were 10 ammas high, 1.5 ammas wide, but 1 amma wide, a thick. Okay. Now, if you put boards at the end of the Mishkan, and you put them flush like this, the board is an amma, this way, the depth, and you put a board an amma and a half this way, so you're only having a half an amma exposed. Because one amma is covered by the depth. So if you put two more planks, right? So basically it's a half an amma plus a half an amma. Correct? So therefore the Mishkan was 10 ammas wide. So instead of 18 feet wide just from the 6 boards, the Mishkan was 10 ammas wide.
Couldn't be. If it's 3 boards, 3 times 3 is 9. The width.
Right, but then you added another half an amma on each side with the additional board.
So I mean, there's two extra boards. There's more than 3 boards then.
And on the west side, the Torah says 6 boards.
6 times 3, 18.
18. Plus another half an amma on each side.
Well, it's not rectangular. It's shaped differently.
It's rectangular.
You have 6 on that side, you have 2 here, that makes
so
it...
So the 2 are on the end of the 6 full boards.
6 full boards,
two half boards.
And 2 half boards.
Oh, 2 half boards, right.
So therefore, so altogether, it was 20 feet wide. Huh?
Half board was covered.
No. 10 amas. Okay. There were 6 boards.
Yep.
Which is amma and a half. Okay. So basically, the dimensions of the Mishkan, based on this final thing, was 60 feet long and, no, 10 amas, 20 feet wide. That means the width was a third of the length. But it's a very small Mishkan. It's the size of this room. How many square foot is 60 by 20? 1,200 square feet.
Like the size of the whole place.
No, this is more. This is 1,500. So the size of the Mishkan is 1,200 square feet.
And 20 foot high ceiling.
A 20 foot high ceiling. Yeah.
The bleachers.
The electricity and air conditioning didn't cost too much.
Right now we're in the middle of Mishkan.
Yeah.
I still don't get it from last week. How did
what?
It burn? When it was covered, how did it burn the...
I didn't get an answer to that one yet.
Yeah, but the korban, the animals were outside. It's just the katoris that was inside.
What?
The cover didn't cover the...
There was... Okay. Look on page 463. Now, one second. If you see, there's the outer rectangle, okay? It has a point at least about the korbanos. You see, there was the courtyard of the Mishkan, and then there was the Mishkan itself. What we're learning now, you see where it says Mishkan Tabernacle and it points to the inner area? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you see 3 sides were boards, and then there were not really 3, but there are 3 beams on the west and the eastern side. Okay. Looking straight ahead is west. This way is east. Okay. So north is this way. On the right side is north. The left side is south, right? Because straight ahead is east. I mean, it's west.
Right.
Okay. Now, the Mishkan itself that had the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Ketores Mizbeach was in that Mishkan small area. Okay? That was covered with the goat skins and the various different coverings of the Mishkan. Now, the courtyard of the Mizbeach...
The ramp.
Thank you. Yeah, but this is not going to be a clear picture. One second. Let's see if they have it. Okay. If you see this picture, can you see it? The menorah is, look. You see this picture? Okay. This is the Mishkan, which is covered with those colored skins. Okay. Inside that small area, the most western side, there was a subdivision in this area. Okay? Which I'll show you another picture in a second. That inside area had the Aron, the Holy of Holies, basically. Outside, in the small area of 60 by 20, they had the menorah to the left, Shochan to the right, the small Mizbeach, which was 2 feet by 2 feet, for the Ketores, for the incense, that was closer to the outside. But was all in the Mishkan, which was covered with the goatskins. Okay?
Looks so tiny.
It was tiny. Now, you had the courtyard of the Mishkan. The courtyard of the Mishkan that we're going to learn about soon, right? Now, the big Mizbeach that they brought to Karbonis was in the courtyard of the Mishkan, and if I'm, whatever, the courtyard of the Mishkan, and that wasn't covered.
That wasn't covered at all?
Mizbeach HaNechoshes is the Mizbeach that they brought the Karbonis on.
Yeah.
Mizbeach HaZahav, that we didn't learn yet, the golden Mizbeach, was a small 2 feet by 2 feet, Amah by Amah, Mizbeach that they only brought the Keteris, the incense in, twice a day. Okay, part in the morning, part in the afternoon. Now, when you... Now, this is the inside of the Mishkan that was covered. Okay, so as you could see, behind this curtain, that's called the Pereches, was the Holy of Holies with the Ark. Okay? Outside, they had the menorah to the left, the Shulchan to the right, the Mizbeach HaKetores. But this was all in this Mishkan that we're learning about now. That was all in the 60 by 20 foot area. Okay? Now, this is an aerial view of inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim and outside. See, inside, this is without... The Pereches one here, the wall that separated, inside was the Aron, okay, inside the Holy of Holies, and outside again you had the Menorah, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach. But this is all
about Mishkan and Mashiach will come, right?
Whatever you say.
It's hard learning.
Why is it hard learning? Okay, that's... Now, they have some... This is the way... This is just a picture of the boards laying down. Okay? So you see at the bottom of the board there are two sockets. In addition to two tenons that went into the sockets, right?
Some of them has it, some of them doesn't have it.
No, some of them are in the sockets already. They're just showing you a picture the way they are without the sockets and with the sockets.
It's the silver that went over the bottom of each board.
Right, the board went into the socket. So the first two are just the sockets, without the sockets, just the tenons. And then it shows you the way they actually went into the sockets. Okay. Now, in addition to that, Rashi explains, if you see there's a peg on top. What held one board to the next? These are... 20-foot board. You need support, right? So besides, we'll learn there are three poles that one top, bottom, and middle. Each board had a peg that went into a little hole of the next board. Huh?
A dowel.
A peg, you know? The small little thing.
So like those mechitza that they put it together?
Like the beds.
Whatever. Everybody knows what a peg is. But that's the way, that was additional reinforcement, so to speak, that the board shouldn't fall down. Okay, then, in addition to that, I don't know if you can see it here, there's cut out grooves on the top. I don't know if you can see it from that far away. They're cut out grooves on the top. In addition to that, we'll learn, they had what was called tabois, something that were round, something that were square, that they're all, no, a ring.
On page 457.
They have it here, 457.
It's something like
that. Oh, yeah, they do it, well, you see, you're right, on 457. Okay, you see between the two boards on top, there's a square ring.
Yeah.
Okay. That ring, each board had two grooves in it. So this ring connected one board to the next board by putting it into the grooves. So there is a few things, because if you just think about it, the Mishkan was so tall, you needed a lot of support for it that it shouldn't just fall down. So they had, number one, the pegs that one board went into the next. The reason of the sockets were that even if the socket sunk into the ground, the board wouldn't, and therefore the board would stand firmly anyway. But they had pegs, two pegs on each board, one on the top, one on the bottom, that they should go into each other. And then they had this tabaz, the rings, that actually were on top, but one tabas, one ring, or square if they were, went into two boards, holding it together with the crevices in it. Ten were at the bottom. These are the ten.
Where do they go?
Into sockets.
Into sockets on the ground?
Yeah.
No,
you see this? This is the socket, and this the board going into the socket. Look at the 457.
Yeah, he's asking where the socket is.
Where do they go?
Where did it,
into the... The sockets are standing on the ground.
Just standing on the ground.
Standing on the ground.
That makes you mad, the question.
It wasn't bolted either.
The top bar is pretty high. How did they put it through? Did they have a ladder, or did they do it laying down, then brought them off?
No, you can't. You couldn't lay it down and put it up like that. You're kidding?
Right. So how did they get it up?
They had a ladder. If they needed a ladder, they had a...
Carrier pigeons.
They jump.
Oh, you're allowed to, like, technically, the ladder on it, what's going on in there?
Why not? Why not? Yeah. What?
Somebody outside could look under and see what's going on in there from the tenants.
No, because first of all, the curtains we learned last time, the boards on the sides were covered by the goat skins. Only one arm of the sockets was open. But if you see, there's no space between the boards. The boards are flushed one to the next.
No, but I'm just curious. I forgot about the paper.
In fact, as you could see on the outside of the Mishkan that we're going to soon learn, they had rings on each board, top and bottom, okay? And then, what held one board to the next again? They put poles through the rings, which is called Briach, that held this wall, and, you know, the top and bottom held the wall again. And then we'll see, they had what held one wall to the next. So there was a bigger ring at the end of each wall, to perpendicular when it met, the right-angled wall met. There would be these rings on top that would go over and hold both walls to each other. Mm-hmm. Okay, on both sides, because there's only two walls that are meeting. And then you had, we learned, the Briach HaTichon, the miraculous pole that went not like this one, top and bottom on the outside. The Briach HaTichon actually went in middle of the board. No, went in middle of the board, not inside.
Here,
yeah, you see in the picture, 457. The Briach HaTichon went through and through.
The purpose of no space between the boards was basically so...
If you see in this picture, if you could see it, there, these... Okay. The rings were on top and bottom of each one. And there's a hole in the middle of the board, in the middle of it. And the miracle of the Briach HaTichon, what we'll learn is, it was a special stick from Avraham Avinu and Yaakov Avinu, that this middle pole went through the wall, and the second the wall ended, the pole miraculously bent to go through the next wall. At the end of the wall, miraculously went bent and went through the third wall. So the Briach HaTichin went from one end of the Mishkan. It went down the wall.
What it was made from? Metal?
Wood. No, wood. Everything was wood. Wood covered with gold.
And the rings also?
Everything was wood covered with gold. Who?
Who was building?
Bezalel. Well, he didn't actually build everything. He was in charge.
He was reading to put all this together.
He was the administrator.
Yeah. Not the administrator. But these are the way, if you notice, these are the poles before anything's on them. So these two holes are for the rings, you know, to hold the boards together. This is the middle of each pole that the middle pole went through. And these are the pegs and the holes that the pegs went into. So you see, each board has, this is the raw board, so to speak. They had two holes to put the rings in. Okay? In fact, the rings, this is what these rings look like. Here. That the middle board was able, that the board was able to go through. But they actually stuck into the hole of the board. There was a hole in the board to put the rings into. And there was a pin in the back that held it. It shouldn't fall out. And then it was a round ring, and then the boards went through those rings. Mm-hmm. And then you see these are the square rings on top that connected one board to the next. And they write that at the end of each wall, to connect the other wall to it, there were wider boards, but that itself wouldn't hold it up. So they had the Briach HaTichin that held everything up. And everything was plated with gold, covered with gold. I don't know, you can figure it out. If it's an amo, it's 2 feet thick, 2 feet thick, 3 feet wide, and 20 feet high. Figure it out. Solid wood.
In the desert.
No, they said it's very heavy. No, the acacia cedar wood is very heavy.
Not even 10 people could pick it up.
They had as many levim as it took to pick it up. In fact, there's a very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, for 7 days before the Rosh Chodesh Nissan, was putting it up and down by himself. Then it came to Rosh Chodesh Nissan. The pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't pick it up; it was too heavy. So he says to God, "What am I supposed to do here?" So God said, "You know what? Just pretend you're picking it up, and I'll do the rest." So the whole thing. So they asked, Moshe Rabbeinu was 20 feet tall. He was 10 amos. If you count an amos 2 feet, he was 20 feet tall. But the question is, how did he do it for 7 days? And then he was able to do it himself. And all of a sudden, it comes to the Shechidah Nissan, he couldn't do it himself. So the Rebbe explains that before the Kedusha, it was just the physical weight of it. After the Kedusha is coming down, then you talk about elevating godliness, that's a whole different story. And God said, just do it and I'll help you do it.
Like the walls, the wood was acacia wood, no?
Well, Rashi says, in English, shittim is translated acacia wood. But Rashi says there were arazim, cedar trees.
But he said that Jacob planted them in Egypt.
Right.
And instructed his children.
Yeah, but what did he do? He planted.
The church in Israel was made of the.
No, no.
Yeah, he said he took them from Egypt and instructed his children that when they left their exile, they should take the wood with them because he knew they had to build.
You translating Rashi, no?
Yeah, Rashi.
No.
So it didn't say cedars; it said acacia.
But Rashi, you read the Rashi. Rashi says Yaakov Avinu nota arozim b'mitzrayim. Arozim is erez. Is cedar trees.
I don't have it in
Hebrew. I know, but if you read the Hebrew in the Rashi, Rashi says, Pasuk Tezvav in the Rashi, second column. Yaakov Avinu, like the sixth line from the top. Yaakov Avinu nota arozim b'mitzrayim. He planted cedar trees.
Cedars in Egypt.
Yes, Yaakov.
He brought it from Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because they can't last in weather like Egypt.
No, he brought it down.
I'm from Lebanon.
He brought it from Eretz Yisrael, and he, okay. A friend